This morning we come to the burning question around spiritual gifts. What are they? How do we use them? And what does Scripture say about these beautiful gifts from God? There's three primary texts that discuss these spiritual gifts, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, which we heard some of a moment ago, and also Ephesians 4. But we're going to read today specifically from Romans 12, beginning in verse 3. Because of the grace that God gave me, I can say to each one of you, don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought to. Instead, be reasonable, since God has measured out a portion of faith to each one of you. We have many parts in one body, but the parts don't all have the same function. In the same way, though there are many of us, we are one body in Christ. And individually, we belong to each other. We have different gifts that are consistent with God's grace that has been given to us. If your gift is prophecy, you should prophesy in proportion to your faith. If your gift is service, devote yourself to serving. If your gift is teaching, devote yourself to teaching. If your gift is encouragement, devote yourself to encouraging. The one giving should do it with no strings attached. The leader should lead with passion. The one showing mercy should be cheerful. Love should be shown without pretending. Hate evil and hold on to what is good. Love each other like members of your own family. Be the best at showing honor to each other. Don't hesitate to be enthusiastic. Be on fire in the Spirit as you serve the Lord. It's the word of God for the people of God. And so as we talk about these spiritual gifts this morning, we saw a handful of them listed in this passage in Romans. Gift of faith and teaching and encouragement and giving, leadership, mercy. These are all among the spiritual gifts that we find in Scripture. And the truth is that in some ways, if we look at the lists of spiritual gifts, which actually I'm going to ask if you can go to another slide, in the next one, this one. This is one list of common spiritual lists from the Lifeway assessment. There's multiple spiritual gifts assessments, multiple lists, but all of them generally boil down to something in these lines. And if you look at this list, you find that in some ways we all have some degree of all of them. I mean, we're all called to have faith in God. That's how we come to this place. We all lead in some way by example to others, even if it's just in our own families. We all serve each other. We're all called to give. We're all called to evangelize and share our faith. We're all called to encourage each other. So in one sense, you say, well, why these spiritual gifts? Because these are things we're supposed to do as Christians. And the truth is, yes, we all do all these things. But we also all need models and examples because nobody can do everything. You ever tried that when you're in a position and it's kind of like being a general practitioner versus a specialist. Sometimes when you are in a position where you have to do so many things, so much variety, you really struggle. Think about some restaurants you might go to and they try to have those international buffets, which basically means cuisine from like every country around the world, so to speak, and none of it's really authentic, and none of it's really good, because they're trying to do way too much, and they don't specialize in any of it, and they don't have anybody from those places to make it. Or the mall, when you go to the Chinese place to order lo mein, and it's actually spaghetti with teriyaki sauce on it, because they don't know how to do it, because that's not their gift, that's not their strength. You know, we see this all the time in life, that we try to specialize in areas that aren't our strengths, that aren't the things that we're good at. And yes, we can do it all. Yes, we can do it to some degree. There's always going to be places, times in our lives where we're going to have to step up to the plate and do some of these things. But it's not our primary fit. It's not what we ought to be doing with our lives as we serve God. I like Pastor Tim Ellington is a Methodist pastor from Kailua UMC in Hawaii. I love what he said about spiritual gifts. He talks about serving in our spiritual gifts as being in our sweet spots. And Carson, I'm going to put you on the spot. What does a sweet spot mean on a baseball bat? The part where it's supposed to hit the ball? And what happens if you hit it with other parts of the bat? It doesn't go very far. So a lot of times it can be fouled. Yeah. There's a specific spot on the baseball bat, and he talks about that, where they call it the sweet spot, because that's where you want to get the hit. And you can swing really hard hits, but if you hit it off on the tip or somewhere down elsewhere, you could hit a home run out into the foul line. It's not going to do you any good. It could go in the stands, but it's not going to count for anything. And I think that's what happens too often in the churches. We're swinging hard in our churches. We're working hard to do everything we can to make stuff happen, to make ministry happen, but we're hitting a lot of fouls. And we're missing a lot of balls because we're hitting with the wrong parts of the bat. Because people aren't living out of their sweet spots. We're all trying to do stuff that we're not gifted to do. And I think the reason for that oftentimes is because we're too busy trying to fill slots. We feel like we've got X number of committees that we have to have people serving on, and so, who can be on trustees? Well, I guess that person can swing a hammer. They can be a trustee. Who's going to be on the council? Well, you know, I mean, we just shove people in these slots, and oftentimes it becomes whoever's willing to do it. And on one hand, we want to commend and celebrate the fact that there are people willing to do it, but we also want to say, look, there are people doing some jobs that they just get burned out. You ever been on a committee or you ever been serving in a ministry and you just get to the point where you're like, I just don't want to go to another meeting. I don't want to go to another event with this. I can't stand this anymore. You get so frustrated, you get so burned out, and you go because, well, nobody else will do it. That's probably not because you're not called to serve, but because you're not serving in your sweet spot and out of your gifts. And there's this obligation to pick up the slack where other people may be gifted, where other people would really love and enjoy doing that stuff. And we might look at it and say, how in the world? I would never want to do that. But somebody else, Linda, I'm going to take you for an example. We have all determined that Linda has the gift of administration. There is no question about it. But I can tell you, when I look through the books and I look through the records that she's looking through and that she just thrives on going through all this detail, and I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, yeah, 2 minutes, bottom line, I'm done. I don't want to look at that paper anymore. Some of us are like that with finances and numbers. We just don't want to look at the details. And we think, how can somebody do that? But on the other hand, we think, thank God, God gifted somebody like Linda to do this because somebody's got to do it. But if we shove somebody else into that spot just because it has to be done, that person's going to be miserable. And it's also going to give somebody who's really good at it the feeling that, well, all the positions are filled. People are already doing it, so there's really no place for me. And I think that mix-up happens all the time in the body of Christ. We need to be looking at our gifts and where our strengths are and living out of that. These gifts are given to us by God in our spiritual birth. They're like part of our DNA. They're part of who we are. And they're more than just natural talents and abilities. We use our natural talents and abilities all the time. We use them for God, and that's a great thing. But these spiritual gifts are more than that, because they're specifically for the purpose of the functioning of the body. And the idea is in building each other up. And I love how Paul puts it in Romans. They don't all have the same function. There are many of us, we are one body. And individually, we belong to each other. You see, that's the crux of using these gifts. We can use our talents and our abilities and even our gifts for our own benefit, for our own purposes. Maybe we use them if we're fortunate to be in a job that we enjoy. Maybe we're using them in our jobs. Maybe we use them in hobbies because our job doesn't allow us to use our gifts and strengths. But the bottom line is the gifts of the Spirit are for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. That we belong to one another, that we serve one another. And if you look at Ephesians 4, you look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, and particularly 13, that's the famous chapter on love. Love is patient, love is kind, love is gentle, all that stuff about love. We always hear it at weddings. Paul didn't have any weddings in mind when he wrote that chapter. He was writing that right after writing this whole list of spiritual gifts. And he was basically saying, look, there are some of you in the church who are looking at some people, like in his day, tongues was a big thing, speaking in tongues. And people would think, well, if that person's speaking in tongues, they must be special in God's eyes. They must have some special gift above everybody else. And they'd feel inferior, or the others would build themselves up thinking, I've got a better gift than you have. And Paul's saying, no. We need all of you. We need all the gifts to be part of the body, to function. You can't just have a bunch of hands or a bunch of feet or a bunch of legs. We need all the parts of the body. And then he comes to the point, by the time he gets to chapter 13, where he's saying, look, the greatest gift of all is love. Because love is the gift, the thing that binds us all together, that we all have in common. And that as the community and the world around us looks at us and says, wow, those people are all so different. How do they not get on each other's nerves? How do they stick together for the long haul as a voluntary community? I mean, I know, you know, you have to love your family, but the church, that's another ball game. You don't have to love those people, at least from the world's perspective. And Paul says, look, when you serve together, when you function together, when everybody's in their sweet spot and you're uplifting one another and you're celebrating each other's gifts and everybody's cheerful about what they're doing and what they're bringing to the table because it's part of who they are and their passion, then the world looks on and they see a different kind of community. They see a community that's not serving begrudgingly. They see a community that's not frustrated, that's not at each other's throats. They see a community where diversity brings unity. And that's the beauty of the kingdom, that diversity brings unity. And we often see it the other way around. We feel like we have to diminish diversity in so many areas of our world. We feel like we can't accept each other's differences, or we have to better ourselves or set ourselves apart from somebody else's difference so that we can be better than them. We still do it today. We don't talk about tongues as much, but we talk about things like teaching. And we sort of see, okay, the teachers are the ones that are sort of on the front lines, they're in the public view. And a lot of times we sort of elevate that gift above others. And if somebody else has maybe the gift of mercy or compassion or encouragement, we don't really notice those people as much because they're doing all their work behind the scenes. They're not up in the podiums. And so it might be very easy for somebody to look and say, well, I can't teach like that, and so there's really no place for me. But there's a very valuable place, visiting the homes of the sick or the shut-ins or the hospitals. There's opportunities everywhere for every gift. One of the things that I loved about the Kentucky Annual Conference when we started meeting in Covington was that we set aside an afternoon for missions. And you have 700-800 Methodists, pastors, and lay people alike. And they made sure that there were so many projects in the community to do that no matter what your gift, you had something to do. And so on that one day every year in Covington, there were over 700 people out in the community serving in some way. Some of them might have been working on a Habitat for Humanity project. Some of them might have been visiting nursing homes or retirement centers. Some of them might have been knitting baby bonnets and things like that for the Crisis Pregnancy Center. I mean, there were so many different things to be done. And it got to the point where they used to rotate the annual conference, and they started having it only in Covington because the city of Covington started to ask the conference, they would call the conference office and say, when are the Methodists coming back? Because they loved it. They loved seeing so many people encouraging in the community. And people in their own community got to the point where they were like, hey, the Methodists are coming. Let's go join them and do something to help our city. I mean, what a beautiful image of the church. That people would be excited about the Methodists coming because these people know how to serve and they do it with love and they do it in so many different ways. And that's who we're called to be in our spiritual gifts. And sometimes we get the gifts mixed up. Leadership versus administration, for example. Administration gets into the nitty-gritty, the details of trying to work out all the paperwork and all the records and getting everything lined up the way it needs to happen. And we need that for projects and events to happen. But oftentimes our administrative people become our leaders. We call it the administrative council, right? I hate to burst your bubble, But no administrative committee has ever led an organization or a company anywhere. And for those on the administrative council, I'm not trying to offend you, but the reality is that's not our function as administration people. Our function is to undergird the vision that is set forth by leaders in the church. And some of those leaders feel like they never have a place because when they get into the positions where they are thinking, oh, well, now I can be a leader, now I can have a voice, they get bogged down with a bunch of administration stuff and they're not interested because these are the people that want to cast the big visions. Those leaders are the ones that are excited about the big picture and where we're going and dreaming big dreams. And sometimes if they get into those settings where everything's administrative, it gets bogged down because they might throw out one of those big dreams and somebody on the administrative side will say, no, wait, look at these numbers. That's not going to work. This is what we did before. This is how it turned out. And the person that should be a leader says, well, they obviously don't need me. And the truth is, no, we do need you. And we need the administrative people to say, look, that's just not our gift. But let's look to those people who it is their gift and say, how can we support them? Because they might have these big dreams that God is giving them. And we are the ones that need to say, how can we finance that? How can we make sure that the buildings are in such a way that it will support the ministries that they are being called to do? Because they can't necessarily do that. They got this big idea, but they're thinking, well, I don't know how to even start this. Well, that's where your administrators come in. You've got people with the gift of discernment, a quiet spirit. And I know a few of these people even in this church, and I can promise you, if I told them who I thought they were, they would probably tell me, no, I don't think so. Because they're some of the most humble people in the world. But they're the people that at meetings or in Bible study that you hear and they hardly ever speak, but when they do, there's just this kernel of wisdom, this pearl that everybody knows that's exactly what God is saying. And you've all had people like that in your life. You just hear that and you think, well, are they even listening? They're never talking. Yeah, they're listening, but they're listening to God. And when they speak, when they're bold enough to speak, when we as the people with other gifts make space for them to speak, wow, things happen. Eyes are opened and awakened to what God is really doing. We don't have time to go through every spiritual gift. I do want to offer you this in the back if you want. There are some spiritual gift inventories. I only printed about 60 of them. We can print more if we need to. But if you're interested, you can take one of these. There's also some websites you can go to online to do assessments to figure out what your spiritual gift might be. There's not any perfect science to it, but I invite you to take one of those on the way out if you want to dig into what is your fit. But honestly, the best way to find our gifts, to find our fit, is to just serve. To be part of the church community more than Sunday mornings, to find a way to get out there and to serve the body and to see where are the places where I feel fulfilled and alive when I'm doing this. I'll go, if you go to the next slide, this is one of the spiritual gifts inventories that's online from Lifeway. You can find that. And this one is pretty nice because it'll score it itself. And this is my own results. It kind of shows you at the top, knowledge, teaching, discernment are kind of in my top range. But you see down in the bottom, that whole like hospitality, 8 compared to knowledge and teaching, 2022. Yeah, don't ask me to host a party or a fellowship event. We need people to do that. And I'm thrilled for watching the ladies over there in the kitchen that have a work of art making that stuff happen time after time after time. But you get me in the middle of it and I promise you it's going to be a mess. It's not because I don't have a heart for serving or don't care about the church or anything else. That's just not my strength. And so let the people that have that strength do it and vice versa. And so we need to be working together in some of that. And so I encourage you to kind of discover your gifts and talk to me if you want to figure out where there are some places where you might be able to fit in and use your gifts more, or if there's some places where you're serving and you're thinking, man, this just isn't a right fit for me, then help us find the right fit by serving. The other thing I want to share with that, and you can go on from this, but the last thing I want to share on that too is that it's more than just our spiritual gifts. Rick Warren has a beautiful thing called Shape. And it's an acronym, and you can write this down if you want. SHAPE stands for spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experience. So again, if you're writing it down, spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experience. And this book, Network, actually goes through something very similar where it looks at various aspects of who we are and our being. Because all these things work together. Our heart, our passions, our natural talents, our personality types, the experiences that we've had are all unique. All of these things, along with our spiritual gifts, make us the body. And I think too often we get in competition with each other. Too often we spend too much time fighting about who's going to do the chores. Who's going to take out the trash? Who's going to wash the dishes? But we never really get to appreciating those things that somebody's really, really good at. Because we don't see the immediate need. We don't see the immediate place for it. They might be quietly serving in their community and we'll never even know it. And the truth is, there are chores to be done. There are things that just have to happen to run a church, to function as a body, to function as a community. And we all have to do those things. I can promise you, in the family, I don't know anybody that has the spiritual gift of doing dishes. Maybe there's some. I'm just curious. Is there anybody here that just loves that? Your mom? Or maybe she does. I've met very few people that's just like, wow, I cannot wait to get home and do the dishes. I mean, yes, there are some things like that that we just have to do to function. I get it. But if we all pitch in and do the chores, then let us spend more of our time celebrating and living out of who we are called to be. What are our unique passions? What are our unique strengths? And you discover those by serving. You discover those by listening to others. Sometimes others will know your gift before you know it. And we work together to build up the body of Christ. Too many churches are like paralytic bodies. Their arms don't function. It's like we've had a stroke. The legs don't function. One half of the body doesn't function. They just kind of sit there in a wheelchair week after week, Sunday after Sunday. But this requires the whole body to come together. That we are all members of the body, Paul says. And we all individually belong to each other as we belong to Christ. It's not an option. And so if you're struggling with where to serve, you're struggling how to fit, look at this. Look at your gifts. Look at your personalities. Look at what your passions are and where they intersect with the needs of the church and the world. But above all, pray that God would give you that heart of community, of unity out of diversity, that God would help you not only find your place, but that God would help us all submit ourselves to one another, as Paul writes in Ephesians. Submit ourselves to one another for the building up of the body. And finally, Peter writes in 1 Peter 4:8-11, he says, above all, show sincere love to each other, because love brings about the forgiveness of many sins. Open your homes to each other without complaining. Serve each other according to the gift that each of you has received as good stewards or managers of God's diverse gifts. Whoever speaks should do so as those who speak God's word. Whoever serves should do so from the strength that God furnishes. Do this so that in everything God may be honored through Jesus Christ. And to him be all honor and power forever and always. Amen.